Welcome to your home for sports coverage without the bias. This is Totally Unbiased Sports with Josh and Kellen.
Hello everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Totally Unbiased Sports with Josh and Kellen. This week we have episode 124. There's not a lot happening in sports, like, over the span of, like, as quantities of multiple sports going on. But at the same time, there's a lot happening in sports. We had March Madness.
Great way of putting it.
Last week, the first weekend of March Madness. Decent weekend. Brackets were just busted everywhere, and I just love that everyone, like, all you talk about on Thursday at work, and we're gonna get into this a little bit later because we got to talk about something else. But all you talk about Thursday at work is, like, well, Wednesday's your bracket. Everyone talks about their bracket. Thursday, everyone just talks about what games are on, when those games start. Friday, everyone just talks about the percentage of brackets that are already busted, and there's always one or two people that are, like, bragging about how, oh, yeah, they totally saw it coming. I don't know.
Yeah, on their 12th bracket that they made.
I had one bracket. I had the Princeton get upset. I'm just going to throw that out there. One bracket, okay, guy, I had it. So, but, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, with the we're already... You do your Penguin stuff. You do your Penguin stuff first, and then I'll talk about Princeton. But you do your Penguin stuff first.
That's a teaser. Stay later into the show for this. Oh, my God, though. I have to talk about the Penguins. I want to get it off my chest a little bit. Because for the first time in my life that I remember, there's probably a correct way to phrase this. I can't phrase it that way because I'm really stupid. But for the first time in my memorable life, or my memory can remember, my favorite football team and favorite hockey team will miss the playoffs in the same year. It's happened four times since I've been alive. I don't remember a single time this. I don't remember this ever happening. This will be the first time, and this is a tough pill to swallow. To put this in perspective for why it might be so devastating, I don't want to hear the whole "you're spoiled," whatever. Yeah, I'm very happy about what's happened with the Penguins over the years. Like, it's been great, but at the same time, Sidney Crosby just got his, like, 16th, I think it is. I'm probably wrong.
Yeah, even now, yeah, I think it was 16th. No, I think you're right. I think it's 16th, whatever you're talking about. Yes.
Year. It's 16th year averaging a point per game. So you have a guy in his mid-30s who's hypothetically supposed to be on the decline, still carrying your team, averaging a point per game again, in his career. Evgeny Malkin is playing really, really well. Chris Letang, he had a little bit of a rough patch there when he had his stroke and his dad died, so excusable. But outside of that, like, 1 month where he had everything other than hockey going on in his life,
You're just going to give him a pass for having a stroke?
Yeah. I'm going to give him a pass for
I didn't know Josh went soft all of a sudden.
Yeah, okay, I did. Spoiler alert, Josh went soft. But anyway, like, so you're getting out of the core that you brought back, and this, like, you're getting good play. So why are the Penguins with a negative goal differential and they're outside of the playoffs looking in, and they're probably not going to make the playoffs? Because, I mean, the NHL playoffs are all about who gets hot. Any playoffs are about who gets hot at the right time. The Penguins keep having chances to get hot at the right time. A few weeks ago, I probably mentioned it on here, they had the majority of their remaining games were against teams that were not in the playoff picture. They're losing those games. They're not winning games. The Florida Panthers, who were chasing them, are winning games. The Florida Panthers are now in. The Penguins refuse to make any changes. I mean, Nick Bonino, they brought him in to maybe try something. He lacerated his kidney 3 days after becoming a Pittsburgh Penguin. Mikael Granlund.
So he's soft too.
Yeah, Mikael Granlund did absolutely nothing since he's come here. So this whole, like, change of scenery thing, I'm not buying it. I'm just like, I'm not very happy with the state of the Penguins. It just feels like they've wasted a year of Sidney Crosby that, I mean, you do go in reality, you're probably not going to win the Stanley Cup with, like, this year it's going to be hard. Like, you can't win the Cup every year. But now we're going on 5 years that they haven't even made it. They haven't even won a playoff series. That's pretty bad. Like, that is really, really bad. So I'm down on the Penguins. I'm depressed about the Penguins. Brian Dumoulin is playing absolutely awful. He continues to get high volume minutes. Jeff Carter, he's only good in the faceoff circle. Outside of that, he sucks. No one makes any changes. Ron Hextall sucks. He needs to be fired, or worse, some people might be saying on the internet. Kellen, you have a question?
I have two questions, actually.
Yep.
My first question is, what can the Penguins do to get themselves hot? And my follow-up question is, when do the Penguins start tanking for Bedard?
It's interesting that you say those two things. what do they need to do? I think if they fired Ron Hextall right now, the fans would be okay with whatever. They need to they need to magically get healthy. They need better goaltending. They need absolutely better goaltending. And now
Jari not getting it done?
No, he sucks. Jari has absolutely sucked. again, like, we're now looking at this and we have not – Matt Murray was the last goaltender that even showed any promise to take us to the next level. I think the Tristan Jari experiment needs to be over. It sucks. He's a decent goaltender. He's been great at times, but he's never healthy. Again, an injury derailed his season this year. So here we are again, 5 years in a row talking about injuries and goaltender injuries. Like, you need to make, I know that you can't control whether or not players get injured and injuries happen, but at the same time, it feels very weird to me that we're building an entire roster around people that get injured every single year. So that's my main beef on that one, is that that's all happening. Now, here we go with my next answer. Because I, like any fan, I have had a moment of weakness, and the Pittsburgh Penguins have always seemed to get decently fortunate when it comes to these kinds of things. If you look at the standings today, the Pittsburgh Penguins are 1 point out of the last wild card spot in the playoffs. Wins have been increasingly hard to come by. They don't look very good. The Penguins are 10 points out of the bottom 10 in the league, which would put them into the draft lottery for Connor Bedard. And
the Hawks have been hot lately too, so that the Hawks are probably going to pass the Penguins at some point.
And that won't happen. But, because there's, I don't think that can mathematically happen. But, like, I like where your head's at. But basically, yeah, you just need to be in the bottom 10 in the league. Which, God, this feels so awful. I can't picture Sidney Crosby being in the bottom 10 of the league. That just sounds so wrong to me. Because he's always found a way, and Ron Hextall is just robbing the entire world of Sidney Crosby playoff hockey, because it's always fun. He's always good unless, I don't know, Jake Trouba maybe puts an elbow through his face with no repercussions whatsoever.
He does do that
from
time to time.
Thank you, Bettman. But, yeah, so the Penguins, like, it is kind of in a weird spot where you're like, I don't want them to tank. I'm not saying I want them to tank at all. But the fact that they keep losing could end up putting them in position for the draft lottery, and they hypothetically they would have the worst odds at getting the number one overall pick. But again, those odds aren't zero if you're in the bottom 10 in the league, which,
yeah,
yes, I said we're 1 point in, away from a playoff spot and 10 away from the bottom 10 in the league. It feels a lot more realistic to see the Penguins in the bottom 10 in the league the way I've seen this team play over the last week, because it's kind of like, You would like to think we're playing all these teams that have nothing to play for at all, and we're supposed to be the hungry, desperate team trying to make the playoffs, and that's just not happening. We can't score goals. We can't get any goals, anything that, on the blue line back. Nothing good is happening anywhere outside of Sidney Crosby. Like, he is the only bright spot on this roster. And, like, I mean, Evgeny Malkin, too. But, like, Crosby's the only one that's doing anything out there on a daily basis. So that's the state of the Penguins right now. I'm not happy. I'm really quite actually upset about it. And then the other big news, and we're going to get into this when it finally happens, but it just broke today. Fanatics is taking over as the official jersey partner of the NHL. And
yeah,
oh my God. Oh my God.
Huge news for me.
10-year deal. 10-year deal. And fans aren't happy. Fans are not happy.
Josh.
Yeah.
Josh, you want to tell, how long have I had my Dustin Byfuglien jersey?
Pretty long time. Very long time.
What brand is that there?
Fanatics.
I got the Fanatics brand jersey before they were even the sponsor for the NHL. I don't know how that's possible, but I'm jack pumped about it, man.
So,
I mean, yeah, huge deal for Fanatics getting that one.
Yeah,
but
people are freaking out.
Great news for me.
So Fanatics does not have a great reputation with the hockey fan community. And I'm going to go more in depth into this once we get like the first jersey renderings and everything. This deal does not start till 2024. We have 1 year of Adidas left. I did like the quality of the Adidas jerseys, at least the ones that you could purchase. Cause Fanatics did make like a lower scale, like fan, jersey that wasn't like an official.
Don't do that.
Like,
don't say
it,
that.
No, but no, it was like more. No, no, it was more of
I just showed you my Fanatics jersey.
Yes.
You can call me low quality.
No, it's a different style. So it's
calling me poor?
No, I was saying that you selected the form fitting option for your body type where I bought the baggy.
So you're
hockey.
Calling me fat. Okay, gotcha. I'm fat.
No, I said you didn't
form fitting.
Did you listen? Yeah, you wanted something that's going to fit.
Obviously not.
And show off your slim body, and I bought the one that's going to be baggy so you can't see how fat I am. That's what I was going
okay,
for
Josh,
there, Kellen, where you wanted
Josh,
to maybe show off your body a little bit.
No. Okay, you can't get mad at me because we already established last week that I don't listen to you. So apparently you're not listening to me. So, wow.
So,
the tables have turned, my friend.
Ah, the turntables. But, yes, so anyway, I'm looking forward to seeing what happens. But, like, people are already posting just the horror stories about Fanatics where you can't speak to a representative. They've waited 48 hours for a response. Someone got a... ordered a Red Wings hoodie for their kid for Christmas. It came and the logo was upside down and crooked. I got like people are getting numbers misprinted. Like, so Fanatics is really going to have to step up its quality game, which it's going to, obviously. It's just, it's stupid to think that, you know, they can't do it because they suck with that. But it's interesting. So Kellen, what do you think?
Yeah, since we're airing grievances on Fanatics, even though I did just show off my Fanatics hockey jersey, I would like to say that after Baylor won the national championship, that happened April 5th, 2021, for those of you who forgot, after they won the national championship, I ordered all my Fanatics gear. I must have dropped $300 worth of Fanatics gear, and I got $8 back in fan cash. So did not give you a great return on your investment in fan cash either. And it expired within, I think, 3 months of me making that purchase.
Yeah.
So I also had to use it right away, too.
Yeah, so it's going to be very interesting. What I'm most interested to see is, A, what the jerseys look like, B, what the quality of them is, and then C, what their price point's going to be on it. Because I would think, hypothetically, they should be cheaper than if you're selling another company's gear on your website is what I would
that's true.
I would think.
Yeah.
I would think. So it'll be interesting to see if that brings it down to a more affordable price point, but I doubt it will because they already have that line of like, they already have the line of like, oh yeah, here we go. And they're going with the tiered like NFL or like how Nike does it. They're with the tiers of like jerseys. So I think Fanatics is going to try and do that. And also like, oh my God, NHL, the MLB, the NBA, and the NFL all have Nike jerseys. The two people in the running for the NHL jerseys, the last people, Fanatics and New Era. You're joking. You're joking. You want to be seen.
I forgot that. Yeah.
You want to be seen. You want to be seen. Like, did they have Starter in there too? I mean, oh my God! Like, you want to be seen as like
Russell,
one
Athletics.
Of the big four leagues, and you can't even. It like Adidas is dropping you after 5 years, which I get. Adidas like hockey's not their thing. They tried, it didn't go amazing. But like, it's been what 6 years? They've dropped them. So I mean, I don't know. It's not. It doesn't look great. Like, it's all about money, and Fanatics had the money to throw at them. They've been building this partnership. Fanatics has been building their brand up quite a bit, and they are going to become one of these like premier outfitters at some point. Like, Fanatics is going to buy out another one of these small apparel companies at some point and like absorb them, and they will be, you know, making their own stuff. They'll be like a Nike, an Under Armour, whatever it is. Like, that will be Fanatics at some point here. So that's the news around the hockey world. Now we can get into some college basketball, because that was really dominated the sports headlines over the week. And I had fun on the Baylor bandwagon while it lasted.
No, okay, wait, shut up. I'm about to give you credit, and we're not going to talk about Baylor, so we'll talk about Baylor, I guess. But yeah, shut up, Josh, shut up. Because I'm going to give you credit for something here, and I called there was going to be a madness tournament, like tons of upsets. Anybody could have called that. Josh was all over Purdue. He was over that Purdue game.
Per don't.
Losing to Fairleigh Dickinson, FDU, 16-1 upset, the second time in college basketball history that's ever happened. And Josh, he called his shot. So speak on that for us.
You know, I don't know, and you sort of called me on it in a way. More you just asked the question as to why I don't like Purdue, why I don't trust Purdue, and I don't have an answer to that, but I didn't trust Purdue at all in any way, shape, or form. And it felt like things were going too well for them. There's a Nickelback song, where there's a line in a Nickelback song, something's got to go wrong because I'm feeling way too damn good. That was kind of my feeling on Purdue, is like, something's got to go wrong because they're feeling way too damn good right now. And it happened. They collapsed. I personally, like, I really wanted it to be the first round. I had to talk myself into the bracket realm. Giving them the benefit of the doubt, saying that they could be a 16 seed. So I was wrong in that aspect, that I thought that maybe the Big Ten champion could beat a team led by a coach who had coached 1 year in Division One. So I knew they weren't making it up.
If you've watched any Big Ten basketball in the last decade, you would have known that any one seed Big Ten team is susceptible to a first round upset.
Well, I knew they were susceptible to it. I thought they would gut it out and lose in the second round. So either way, though, I knew they weren't making it out of the weekend. They didn't make it out of the weekend. It was fantastic.
They didn't make it to the weekend.
For me, personally, I loved it. And it was just, I was all over Purdue losing, and then I picked Princeton. So I was feeling pretty good because two of the bigger upsets, I picked them. I saw them coming, and that's what happened. I can't remember. I'm pretty sure I might have even gotten Baylor. Sorry, Kellen, but I think I picked Baylor. So
Okay, well, you can't do that as a Baylor fan, so your fandom never counted. I'm excommunicating you.
Did you see all my tweets? No, sorry. My tweets say otherwise. All of my tweets
You were
say
subtweeting
otherwise.
Me, and you know it. You were subtweeting me, and all you absolutely
tweets,
know what you were doing.
All of my tweets
I didn't react to any of them. So it doesn't count either. I'm
you
still
are
excommunicating
so
you.
You are so lucky something came up on Sunday, or that would have been so much worse for you. But
yeah.
You're very lucky I was distracted. That's all I'm gonna say on that.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about Baylor now, or do we want to
I'll talk about Princeton and Arizona, and it's the third year in a row we've had a 15-2 upset. That's insane. 15-2 is becoming the new 12-5 upset, which it's awesome. The amount of parity we have in college basketball now. The thing with the 15-2 upset is you'll always feel like a dumbass for calling it because you'll never call the right one. Because probably the hot one this year was Texas and Colgate. So if you look at that game was never even remotely close at all.
Yeah.
Texas was absolutely bigger, faster, stronger. Everything about them was better than Colgate. And nobody would have thought Princeton would have won this game. They weren't the best team in the Ivy League this year. Yale was. Mm-hmm. And you don't pick a 15 seed who was never even the best team in their conference to win that game. So I mean, congrats on calling that. I can't believe you called it because those 15-2 upsets are just impossible to call because you know it's going to happen, but you'll feel like a dumbass for doing it anyways.
Well, it's great minds. Great minds can do incredible things, Kellen, and that's what we had in that instance.
So I am 100% done giving you credit for anything for the rest of this episode because I think I've given you ups like 3 times so far. Yeah, I need to stop. I can tell your head is getting big.
It's all about basketball.
Compliment me real quick, Josh. Can you say something nice about me?
Baylor won a game in the tournament. That's awesome.
Okay.
Because guess what? Purdue didn't.
Super great. I appreciate that. Baylor
Another
lost.
Thing.
Yep.
Pitt what won else? Two games in March Madness. Pitt won 2 games. They won more games than Baylor
oh,
won.
Oh, that is such a technicality.
Let the record show. Pitt won more basketball games during the NCAA tournament than Baylor. Unbelievable.
Pitt, just in case anyone doesn't know, Pitt was a play-in game for this tournament. They won the play-in game and they were upset as an 11 seed.
And then they racked Iowa State. They ran them out of the building.
They did.
Used some of the points. They probably should have saved some of the points for the game against Xavier, but they ran.
No, they didn't they even score Iowa that many State points. Iowa State scored 10. That's their problem. Yeah. They did nothing that whole game. But we have some other games I want to talk about. Furman was a big first-round upset, yeah. One that I called, 4-13. Virginia Woo-hoo! With the dumbest play out of a fifth-year yep. senior you've ever seen to end a basketball game, a full heave across court to try to get out of a trap with a timeout remaining still. Pass gets intercepted. Furman hits a go-ahead three with I think 2 seconds left. Virginia can't score, and Furman wins the game. It was an awesome upset. It was a crazy ending. That's what like kicked off March. I think that was the first. It was either the first or second game of the day.
It was
and
two.
It really hasn't slowed down since. Yeah, it's been amazing. What were your thoughts on that game or just that play?
So that play, I didn't see it live, unfortunately. But it was absolutely insane. And watching it, like the memes out of it were my favorite part. It was hysterical. What I was actually like the reason, and it's not because I wasn't into the tournament. I don't want people to get that. The reason was actually because my coworker graduated from West Virginia, and that was the first game to go final And Maryland, you know, beat West Virginia. So we do this thing in our office where whenever one of our teams lose, we print off the final score graphic and we hang it in their, like, above their desk. So yes, I was.
Sounds like a great workplace culture.
I was being the first, you should see the desk of the Kansas fan, because it is riddled with upsets this year. It is riddled with them.
Good.
And so I was trying to be the first one to print off the final score and hang it above her desk. So that's why I missed the ending of the play initially. I did go back and watch it. I just wanted to let the record show that I was being, you know, a good coworker and helping decorate my coworker's desk. Good guy, Josh. Helping
great.
With some yeah. decorations. So
congrats on Josh being somehow... You didn't even spin it to make yourself look like a good person. You just called yourself a good person at the end of that
yeah.
story. So congrats on that tomfoolery that happened.
But
right
it is
there.
A very fun it is a very fun office dynamic to get into that. So if you need something, I highly recommend doing that to get at one of your coworkers. It's kind of a fun time.
I'll think about it. Josh, finish this. What follows after what I'm about to say here? Just finish what I'm about to say. January, February.
Izzo.
Yeah. It is January, February, Izzo. I mean, Michigan State, they just get it done in the tournament. This was not a team I believed in. And,
They only do it when they're not supposed to. If they are supposed to.
Yeah, everybody remembers when they got upset by Middle Tennessee.
Yeah. they are supposed to. They're any other Big Ten team.
Yeah, they beat USC in the first round, 7-10 game. They were the 7 seed. And then they face up against Marquette in the second round, a team I really liked. Tyler Kulik on Marquette, Big East Player of the Year. Shaka Smart, he's going to be Big East Coach of the Year. Just really good team, and they dominated the Big East tournament, won it all. And Michigan State comes in. They're the highest – Marquette's the fastest-paced offense in the country. And immediately your brain goes to, oh, well, now we know how Michigan State's going to win. Tom Izzo's just going to slow them down. He slows teams down better than any coach. And when you're a fast-paced team, if that's the style that you play, you're going to be really off your game. And Marquette was. Michigan State pulls off the upset. And they're once again in the Sweet 16 under Tom Izzo. And I don't see this run ending soon. I think I'm not even sure. I don't remember who they have in the next round,
Kansas
but we'll get
State.
To it anyways.
Kansas State.
K-State, I like that matchup for Michigan State. Izzo just gets it done in March. I don't know what else to say about it. Josh, we'll move on to a game that I know you'll at least comment on the team that lost. Duke got beat pretty easily by Tennessee. That's a team I had in my Final Four. What are your thoughts on Duke getting out first year under John Shire? Their tournament run ends.
I tried to convince you maybe of this same thing when it came to our Aaron Rodgers discussion last week. It's not the same. Like, there was a genuine...
He still hasn't been traded yet, by the way. He still hasn't been traded yet.
That's scary. You miss Coach K because, like, I don't like Duke at all. But, like, you have to admit it's so much harder to relish in the fact that they lost when it's not Coach K.
That's true. Definitely.
Because there was no fake injuries, no fake heart attacks, no whatever going on the sidelines. Like, Duke just lost. And, like, there's a lot more things that happened here. But it flew so under the radar that Duke lost. It just felt wrong. It felt very wrong.
Yeah.
And I miss Coach K for that reason.
Have they lost their brand? People are asking, they're just not Duke anymore. Are they just due? There's no K without them
yeah.
anymore. So
I do think so. I don't know. They don't have any They don't have any villain players either. So they just lost everything.
You could just look at Filipowski and say he looks like a combination of every Duke player I've hated in my life, and you can just make him the hateable guy pretty easily.
True,
but it's fair. Yeah, I mean, they got outplayed. Tennessee worked them. Tennessee's a good team, and I kind of just forgot about them because they fell off the map, and their best player got hurt midway through the season. So Rick Barnes, another guy who gets it done, but this is really the first time he's been getting it done in March. I mean, he's never really had a great March run. Maybe one time with Tennessee, I think he made the Elite Eight, but congrats to them making the Sweet 16. Last game I want to get to is the big upset in the second round. Kansas loses to Arkansas. They are now just Kansas because they have to do that. That was a great game, start to finish. And I'm very surprised. I mean, Eric Musselman, three straight Sweet 16s now. But I'm just very surprised that Kansas was the team with the senior leadership. They got some young guys too, but they're way more experienced. Arkansas is completely freshman, top to bottom on that roster. And they played like freshmen all year. And Eric Musselman gets them to play right at the right time. Maybe he's the new Izzo, even though Izzo is still the guy too, but maybe he's going to fill his role once he kind of fades away into the darkness. Because Eric Musselman just gets it. He's been getting it done in March. That's the theme of this show, I guess. But pulls off the big upset over Kansas, who didn't have Bill Self coaching, by the way, that should be said, but huge upset. That busted tons of brackets.
Yeah. I do agree. I personally loved this. I loved this. A little. How many straight was it for Musselman?
Three straight.
Three straight and
maybe four with Nevada. I don't know.
So
could be four.
Yeah, I enjoyed it because, like I said, coworker Kansas fan. Coworker Kansas fan. I loved it. Little weird for a dude that's made four or five straight to be taking his shirt off in celebration was my, like,
act like you've been there.
I get it was an 8-1. It was a huge upset. The shirtless thing, a
still
little
state
bit weird.
Schools.
Like, it just, it He's felt done a that little before, weird. Though. I know, it felt a little weird in this timing. This timing of it, this round, like, going to the Sweet 16. Like, if you do it a couple times.
I think Arkansas coaches just love to get shirtless, dude.
They do.
I think that's just the way it is.
And kudos to him. I mean, like, he's not, like, chiseled. So, like, it wasn't like he was just trying to show off, like, a six-pack or something. So, kudos to him, I guess. That shirtless picture is hanging up above my coworker's desk.
Good.
So
good. You are a good coworker.
Yeah, I'm so great. I got gifts for all of my coworkers this week. And then the best part is, he tried to get me back, and he comes storming in. He goes, "This doesn't even work because you don't even care that much." But, like, here you go. And he hung up the Xavier.
That's
Pitt
what
score.
I was. that's what I was saying last week. Is like this is why it was hell for you to join the Baylor bandwagon, because I know, like, I can't make fun of Pitt because it doesn't. You literally have twisted it to get bragging rights over me with Pitt. They won more games. So
they did.
This sucks.
I
this is why you love March so much, because you cannot get affected, but you know everybody else gets hurt.
Hand up, I enjoyed my time. I enjoyed my time on the Baylor bandwagon. I am looking forward to next March.
You are such a sicko. You're such a sicko. I just realized that this is why you love March so much. I never, like, I knew that this was a part of it, but I didn't realize this was pretty much all of it. You're such a sicko. You're crazy.
Well, it used to just be, it's becoming more and more of a part of it, because I'm now exposed to people from so many different fandom backgrounds, and basketball is so big in the Midwest that, like, no matter what, I have somebody. And most people just don't have ammunition they can come back at me for, because, like, it just, it won't work. It just doesn't work that much.
Yeah, it's the Penguins or the Steelers with
people,
you.
And again, most people don't care enough about those sports to be able to accurately, like, bring me down, which is great. Because it's just too much work for them to get invested in hockey enough. I know I'm going to hear it when the Penguins inevitably lose, but whatever. So that was that. It was a great, great week. I'm hoping that we can kind of – this week will – I hope maybe this week lives up to this hype a little bit and we can continue going. We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens here. I'm intrigued to see what goes on. I think, you know, hypothetically, Alabama's sitting pretty right now with San Diego State. Then they got to play the winner of Creighton Princeton. Other than that, it looks like it's going to be pretty much there's a lot of parity, it looks like. So we'll see what craziness we get. At the end of the day, man, they're just kids.
Who's your champ?
So who's my champ? My champ's out. IU.
No. Well, I mean, who's your champ at this point? With Alabama. The 16 teams remaining.
Alabama.
Okay. I got UConn.
I'm going to Alabama. I don't like UConn.
All right.
Or State. I would love to see State win.
Yeah, that would be pretty
they
sweet.
They won't. But I'd love to see them.
I just wanna mention the World Baseball Classic is happening. Everybody should be watching. The championship is on right now. US is down 3-1. And I'm getting really more and more pissed off at Justin Verlander as each inning passes. And I'm watching Jason Adam, who I have never once heard of, come into this baseball game right now as the U.S. is trailing. I'm sickened. This was supposed to be the super team, but no good pitchers joined, unfortunately, outside of Lance Lynn, who I love.
The big thing I would say go on this World Baseball Classic for me has been the injuries. And that's like, the Mets are high key screwed. I'm not gonna go the Frank the Tank length on that, but
watch
definitely.
If you have TikTok, watch his TikTok. Please.
Go
it
look
is,
it up.
It,
and
it is.
You
it
might
is
not
his
know,
magnum opus, perhaps.
You might not notice it the first time, so watch it again. You can clearly hear glass breaking about three quarters of the way through it. I don't know what it was, but something shatters about three quarters of the way through this thing. So, it was great. But, like, again, that's just – and that's the issue with these things. And, like, the NHL, like, we've been – fans have been begging for this best-on-best thing to happen. And, like, the NHL fans were like, oh, look, MLB can figure it out. Why can't we do it? And the big thing from the owners and commissioner was like, well, what about injuries? And now here you see some catastrophic injuries happening that can alter teams.
I just want to point out this injury did happen while he was celebrating. It was a really freak injury.
Yes.
But I do want to point out how electric this World Baseball Classic has been. As an international tournament, you can. It's amazing seeing all the different cultures, especially like teams like Japan and the Dominican and Cuba, like their fans coming, and you see how different baseball is over there. I mean, it's all the same sport, but like how differently their fans treat it and come about it, and it's so cool. And I'm getting really sick of people on Twitter complaining about how MLB needs to create this type of atmosphere at their games. Like what do you propose MLB does to promote that kind of atmosphere? Have a sellout crowd every single night.
Yep.
Completely change American culture. You can't really do that. So it's amazing to see these fans here, but Josh,
it's pretty, it's pretty simple. You force Bob Nutting to sell the Pirates, have them be a good team, and you will get that atmosphere every single year. So
in Pittsburgh,
playoff baseball in Pittsburgh. And that's all you need. That's all.
But across the MLB is a little bit more, tough of a task to, the tackle.
No, it is.
The fandom has been amazing. And so many people have shown out
best,
in this
international best on best competition, no matter what the sport is. Brings a different level of fandom. You see it in golf with the Ryder Cup. You've seen it in hockey with I mean, the World Juniors, like, is amazing. And these fans come from all over the place to watch these games. You've seen it in the Olympics. You've seen it in soccer. You've seen it, like, you've seen it everywhere. And international best-on-best competition, nothing it creates greater fandom than that. And it's so fun.
Yeah.
And I wish every sport.
And you're also.
I wish hockey would get back to doing something like this, where if you're not going to let them go to the Olympics, you got to do the World Cup of Hockey. Like, it's just awesome. It is awesome seeing it.
And you're also seeing it from countries that you don't typically get to see maybe their fandom on the international stage all the time. Like, there's not a lot of sports that Japan dominates and the U.S. dominates that line up together. And there's certainly probably even less that the U.S. and, like, the Dominican or Cuba even have in common that they both dominate equally and can see on the international stage. So that's why it's so cool to see. Like, I don't get to see this a lot. And I've never really seen how, like, baseball is played over in Japan and how their fans, like, interact with the game. Like, when Shohei Ohtani hit his home run, they passed it all the way around the outfield. Each fan got to hold the home run ball and take a picture with it. And then the ball got back to Shohei Ohtani after the game. Like,
yeah, that's
if
crazy.
If that happened in an MLB ballpark, that thing would have been sold on eBay by the ninth inning. It's completely different. So, yeah, I've enjoyed it. Anything else you want to say about it before we jump into our segments?
No, I don't know if you're gonna have this in the segments, but Trey Turner. I mean, like,
oh yeah, Trey Turner's been Captain America, and hopefully the U.S. can pull it off tonight. It's not looking great right now.
It was absolutely amazing, and people do look. Oh my god! Sorry, I can't say. We can go into segments, and I'll explain what I'm saying. Oh my god! To here in a second, because I can't afford to jinx it. But oh my god! Oh my god! Segments. Let's get into our segments. And anyway. Yeah, where do you want to
know what
here?
That was?
Do you have questions? No,
I don't have questions. I want to start where I can figure out what that was that just came from you.
I can't jinx it.
How?
So I can't.
Can
tell
you explain it to me without jinxing it at all?
Go. It's very. It's a conflict of interest. This is the most unbelievable thing that I feel really disgusting. I'm gonna have to shower after doing what I'm doing right now. So
can you tell me what you're watching at least?
No, I can't. Can we just? Do you have any questions for me that are outside of this? And I will enlighten everybody because I can't say it out loud. My mind is already running. My mind's already going 1,000 miles an hour, and I'm already planning ahead. So here we go. Questions for me, Kellen.
I don't have questions, like I said, already. But we'll start with Player of the Week. Josh, who is your Player of the Week?
Yes, Kellen. My Player of the Week is NFL free agent. Well, actually, maybe all free agents, but Cam Newton, because he is throwing
at Auburn.
He's throwing at Auburn's pro day, and he says that there are not 32 quarterbacks better than him. So we get this narrative again, and also Trey Turner, low-key, because that's awesome.
Yeah, he's wrong. He was bad when he came back with the Panthers. He was bad, okay?
Yeah.
He hasn't had a good arm recently. Ever. He hasn't shown that in probably 6 years. And he's just not a good quarterback at this point. And you're taking the camera away from some college kids now who are trying to make it at the NFL level, which is very annoying. And I think very selfish of him. And I think he should just retire and accept. Or if you really do want to come back in the NFL, you are good enough to be a backup. But you need to accept that role as a backup and not complain when the second the starter starts to play poorly. You can't do that anymore. So
it is.
I think it's bad.
It's bad for him.
My player of the week, Josh, is Jamie Erdahl, who's been the sideline reporter for March Madness. Yep. And she's just crushing it. And I'm in love, I guess.
Oh.
She's married. But, it's allowed. No. She's great. She's good at her job.
Good.
I'll leave it at that. Whatever. I've accepted it. Can you say something other than just good to that? I feel weird now. Can you comment a little just further?
I thought she did a fantastic job at covering March Madness. I agree.
Okay.
Great player of the week, Kellen.
Thank you. Josh, really, who's your coach of the week?
My coach of the week is it's Coach Prime. Also Nick Saban.
Okay.
But Coach Prime because Coach Prime because he did not give any players on his team jersey numbers because they have to earn them. So that's pretty cool. They have to
earn jersey numbers.
Yeah. Damn. That's pretty cool. That's almost like Belichick did this, you're like, yeah, like, you know, it's like a great coach move. It feels a little bit like he's trying too hard to be like a Belichick or a Saban in this moment by doing that. But I absolutely love the move. I think that's hysterical. Wait. I think he might have.
Wait, who did this?
Coach Prime.
Oh. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Coach Prime. I think he might have given his son a number only. I think his son.
I was thinking Nick Saban this whole time.
No. Nick Saban, the reason he's my coach of the week, my alternate coach of the week, is because the defensive back on Alabama that was in the car that got stopped and they had like 3 grams of marijuana, he got suspended for the entire spring season. And Nick Saban was like, just don't put yourself in that position. There's no excuse for that. Basically took the exact opposite approach that Alabama basketball took when their player was found supplying a gun for a murder, hypothetically, where they were like, oh, wrong place, wrong time. Nick Saban was like, there's no excuse for you being in a car that had marijuana in it. You are suspended the entire, like, everyone in the car said he had nothing to do with it. He didn't know it was there. And Nick Saban said, no, you're suspended the entire summer. You shouldn't associate with those people. So
not only did he do that, he literally said in the press conference, there's no such thing as wrong place, wrong time.
Yes.
He directly took a shot at Nate Oates in that press conference.
I loved
it. Yeah, I thought that was great because, cool accountability.
Yeah.
With a Nick Saban-led program. Interesting. That's a new concept. My coach of the week, Josh, I got a couple. Tobin Anderson, because of the 16-1 upset, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, has to be brought up, Rick Pitino, the new head coach of St. John's basketball. He is going to be playing in the Garden. He says he wants to play more games in the Garden than St. John's has ever played because the brand of basketball he's looking to build at St. John's does not fit in their dumb little gym on campus. So he's bringing St. John's basketball back. We get to see Rick Pitino in the Big East. I am ecstatic about this. It's great news. He's back on really the national stage of college basketball. And he was already taking shots at John Calipari in his first press conference, saying him and Cal are the only people who have made a Final Four at 3 different schools. And he wants to get rid of Cal and do it at 4 different schools now. So, I'm excited for this. Rick Pitino is very exciting to have back. And, it's a great time to be alive. Great time to be a college basketball fan right now.
Yeah, I love it. Kellen, where should we go next? We have a couple more.
Let's go tweet of the week because it does kind of come close to my coach of the week that we just did.
Yeah, so I won't take what you're series of tweets of the week might be, because I totally only saw this tweet that you might be mentioning because you retweeted it or liked it. That's why it popped up in my feed. If
that I don't think I like this tweet, so no? You can go. Okay, you never can go mind. If you want.
Then no, I was gonna go with I don't know if it's gonna be Penguins Twitter. There's not like one overarching tweet, but also at the same time, I just saw this. Apparently, the 49ers tried to get Big Ben to come out of retirement.
I saw that.
What the heck?
What are your thoughts on that? What are your and he almost said yes.
Okay, no. He did not almost say yes. Here's the quote. The first report was the first report made it sound like Ben Roethlisberger called the 49ers. It was like, hey, I'm sitting around, arms feeling good. Okay, that's how it first
came
out.
Well, he was probably calling every NFL team just letting him know that let him know that he feels great and that he could kick their ass.
Okay, no. Here is
I got you.
Here's what happened. Let me give you the series of events for my tweet of the week. What actually happened is Philip Rivers called the 49ers. The 49ers said no to him. Then the 49ers called Big Ben. And Big Ben ended up saying no. Now, here you go. Here is Big Ben's quote. They were, I think, reaching out maybe to gauge my interest. I had discussions. I'd be lying if I said there wasn't a small part of me that was intrigued. He goes, I could still do it and prove to people I could still play. He was intrigued by that, right? Here it is. At the end of the day, I just can't see myself in anything other than black and gold. So everyone trying to say, oh,
right.
Big Ben, like, he think what's going to happen is he's holding out for the worst case scenario that the Steelers lose two quarterbacks. Then he's totally coming back.
he would, and in a heartbeat, like he wouldn't even think twice about that. I think like secretly, you know, he always wants the best for the Steelers, of course, but secretly he is at home hoping that does happen, and
I think
he gets another Super Bowl.
Okay, but I also think he just wants that so he can keep saying no. Because anytime he says no and he comes out and goes, yeah, it would feel weird if I wasn't wearing black and gold, people like me are like, yeah, it's my quarterback. Yes, Ben, let's go, Ben. And now he's literally all over Twitter right now. We're talking about Ben Roethlisberger all over Twitter tonight on, like, Steelers Twitter. He's the main story. He's just gonna make every, like, year or two, he's going to be like, yeah, this team was interested, but I told him no because I could just never do that to Pittsburgh. And then everyone's going to buy.
Yeah,
he's going to
do that until he's 85.
That's how he's going to get a statue in Pittsburgh. That's how he's going to get a statue in Pittsburgh. But <All right. laughs> so Cal, what's your tweet of the week?
My tweet of the week comes from the new head coach of your Georgetown Hoyas,
ooh,
Ed Cooley. He tweets, ooh, out to Providence, the team that he once coached,
yep,
and is still in the Big East Conference with Georgetown. Friar Nation, what a ride this has been. We created something so special for this school and this city when no one believed we could. From 2011 to 2023, we turned this program into one of the most special men's basketball programs in the country. He did not receive any nice replies to that tweet. He did not receive probably 50%, I would say, death threats. I don't know, off the top of my head. You left for a rival in conference for more money and put out a tweet thanking. That was really brave of him to do that. And I don't know if he knew how they would respond. He probably did. There's no way you don't know how they're going to respond. But I don't think I've ever seen a coach put out the tweet before.
No, that was...
Because he did literally backstab them. That's backstabbing.
Yeah, that is tough. That's really, really tough. Yeah.
Loving the coaching carousel, though, so far.
It's so fun. They forget so quickly. It's amazing.
Yeah. Fan base of the week, and we'll call it a show.
Yep. So my fan base of the week. Actually, you go first.
It's just us because we've enjoyed a great March so far, and we get another couple weeks of it. So
yeah,
the tournament's been great. It's going to continue to be great. Every game's going to be special, and enjoy them.
Yes. My fan base of the week, and we'll get back to my oh god. So I mentioned Trey Turner, right? People found out that he's on the Phillies. So Philadelphia fans, you are my fan base of the week. Because everyone's talking about you, but also
a big deal in the offseason.
Something big just happened while we were recording. The Florida Panthers lost to the Philadelphia Flyers.
Ooh.
Which, in my calculations saying the Penguins season was over, I was expecting the hot Panthers to bully one of the bottom teams in the league in the Philadelphia Flyers. The Flyers won. The Penguins are still only 1 point back from a playoff spot. So, if the Penguins can win tomorrow, the season's been delayed. The season ending has been delayed.
Season's back on.
It could be back on. But they did get into a fight in practice today, so that's not good. But it could.
Yeah, but they didn't see the. They didn't know that the Flyers just beat the Panthers when that happened.
Philadelphia maybe just put Pittsburgh into the playoffs. So Philadelphia, you trash city. Even when you win, you might have lost because guess what? We still own you. We're better than you forever. And that's the show. So stay unbiased this week. We will see you all next week. And you know, we'll recap. We'll have the fresh things. Maybe Odell Beckham Jr. might be a Pittsburgh Steeler this time next week. We don't know. The rumor mill's going. So we'll catch you up to speed on everything that's going on in the NFL, in college basketball, in the NHL, and an update on the Penguins season this time next week. Stay unbiased.